Right, is that working? Yeah, agree with that. Good. Right. Okay, so as Dave has said last week, over the next little while, we're going to be looking at the latter half of Hebrews 10. Really encourage you during the week to read from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. What are the verses that stick with you? What might God be saying to you through that? And how might you respond to that? We do believe that this is a time for us to be together as family, to lovingly support each other, reminding ourselves of the hope that we have, the fact that the foundation that our life is built on, and encouraging each other in our relationship with Jesus so we can move towards him and we can become more like him in more areas of our life. It's been difficult over the last couple of years, and we do need time to grieve and lament. We don't know what life will be like going forward and what new things that we'll have to embrace. But as Dave shared from Psalm 73 last week, we got that image, which I found really helpful this week, of a God who takes our right hand and walks with us and is the strength of our heart. With Leading Open Blue, I've had the privilege of meeting with youth workers from across the county. And the common theme is how much young people are struggling at the moment. Largely, they've not enjoyed homeschooling. They've missed meeting with their friends and hanging out. And I'm really excited to be doing the wellbeing course with the teens. It's biblically based. It's put together by young people. It covers physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, relational, and vocational wellbeing. And along with Youth Alpha, my prayer is that our young people will encounter God and be touched by the Spirit. So to kick things off, I'm going to be looking at Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I have to preface my thoughts and comments on this by saying that last week I forgot to deliver a food hamper to somebody that we're helping. I know I corrected the situation the next day, but even I need spurring on to love and good deeds as much as anyone else. So 6-7 years ago, I think it was, it's hard to believe it was that long ago, but we had a family who were part of Dayspring and who were really struggling and they needed our help. And those of you who were part of the church then will remember how you all responded by giving your time, your money, your energy, and really showered them with love during that time. I remember working with Paul to repair a washing machine for them. And one day I went to IKEA, I filled our Galaxy that we had at the time with furniture. And then when I came back, we had a flat pack assembly party. I really find it difficult to say that, flat pack assembly party. And there were people from Dayspring, across Dayspring, who turned up to put the furniture together, to put it in place for them. And people sort of finishing work and arriving and saying, what can I do to help? And I have to say, I really enjoyed that, and I really do love times like that. There were a group of four of us at that time who used to meet and review things. I think we went on for something like 12 to 18 months doing that. But for each one of us, there was at least one of the meetings when we arrived frustrated, disheartened, and tired. And we needed the encouragement of the others to raise our eyes, remind us of the bigger picture, and remind us what it was all about. And it was at that time that this verse sort of came alive to me. If we strive towards love and good deeds in our own strength, we will end up tired and frustrated, disheartened, and probably worst of all, we'll end up cynical. It says in Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And Christian charities often talk about the fact that the faith is the fuel for what drives what they do. And in Africa, they have the saying that says, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. Now, if we look at the life of Jesus, we also see that. And here's the picture I had earlier. If we look at the life of Jesus, we also see that. If you take the story of the feeding of the 5,000, if you look at the account in Mark's Gospel, the 12 disciples have been sent out. They've come back all excited. They're amazed at what God has been doing for them. They've healed people. They've cast out demons. They've preached the good news. And Jesus decides that it would be good if they withdrew and spent some time together. So they go off in the boat across the lake, and the crowd follow them round the lake shore. And it says, when they arrived, the crowd was there, and Jesus looked at them and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know about you, but for me, plan A is the plan. So I think I'd have carried on and said, sorry, we need some time alone, come back in a couple of days. But for Jesus, it was a prompting of the Spirit. Getting some time alone seemed like a good idea. But when they arrived and he saw the crowd, he recognized that his Father was at work. And because he only did what he saw the Father doing, he decided to join in. He taught the crowd all day, and then when the disciples suggested that they send the crowd off to get food, he said, no, we're going to feed them. And with those five loaves and those two fish, he performed that amazing miracle. And everyone was fed. It was no snack. It was no bite to eat to tide them over. There were 12 baskets left over, and everyone was full. And then Jesus sends the disciples back away. They go off in the boat. He then dismisses the crowd. And so despite changing the plan, I get a sense that Jesus sort of took the burden of that on himself. He taught the crowd all day. He dismissed the crowd. He had the disciples helping with the practicalities of food distribution and collecting the leftovers. But to some extent, they got some rest. And then Jesus goes up into the mountains to pray. And if you look at the life of Jesus, you often see him going off alone after something big happened. And this is him joining with his Father and the Spirit, that three who've been together since the beginning of time, who created the world together. It says in Genesis 1, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Community is not just a good thing, it's a God thing. We're created in the image of God. And just as Jesus needed time in community with his Father and Spirit, so we need time together in community with those who know and love Jesus. They encourage us, they spur us to love and good deeds, they raise our eyes to the hope that we have in Jesus when we're tired, frustrated, disheartened and cynical. There's a little proverb in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So things have changed, and they will be new. I don't think that things will return to how they were before the pandemic. And when there's change, and change that is fast and forced, it causes people to be fearful and anxious. But if we as family together remind ourselves that we have a God who's holding on to our right hand, who will guide us, and we encourage each other towards love and good deeds, then we will be able to love and show the love of Jesus to family, to friends, to neighbours, to work colleagues, to those we come across. Who knows what God will do that in drawing people to himself and transforming lives. Thank you. Yes, of course.
So that's the biblical perspective. I'm going to talk about some real world stuff, sort of thing. The Evangelical Alliance did some research, just a sort of, no pandemic's not finished, but as we came out of that really, really sort of tough lockdown sort of period thing, and they had about 2,000 people respond, 1,600 individuals, about 500 church leaders, so over 2,000. And so they had real widespread types of churches, age groups, ethnic backgrounds, all those sorts of things. So they feel that they're fairly robust in terms of their results. If you're really interested in that sort of stuff, I am going to show a slide which you can't read. I know that sounds really odd, but just to give a general impression in a minute. But the details of it, you can access on the Facebook app. Who's not done the Facebook app yet? That's because you're looking here, but that's fine. I've got a sheet. Do not fear. And you're very tech savvy, so that will be not falling off the log. No problem at all. But anyway, you can get all the research on there. So I'm going to start with a question. So sort of distance that you can have a chat with somebody sort of thing. My question is, what has changed in terms of people serving their communities over the last 2 years? I'll give you about a minute and a half. What's changed in terms of people serving their communities? So I think that there has been change. I think we're going through another little phase, and this research sort of was before then. But I think the big areas of engagement, even if it's been less people involved, in terms of churches and their engagement in the community, have stayed more or less the same. So if you stick that slide up, as I said, you can't necessarily read
the chart.
Sorry? All you need to know is that the dark blue is before COVID and the sort of tealy green, okay, is autumn 2021 when they were looking at it. And as you look across, it's not massively different. You've got some things where, you know, food banks have gone up a little bit, works to the... someone there was homeless, I can't even know. Yeah, it's gone down. But the actual sort of what was big before has stayed big. And the three really big areas where you see churches involved, food banks, which is probably the biggest one there, which is about 61% of churches are involved in food banks. Befriending is about 50%. And schools, about 37%. But you've also got the mental health thing, and there's been a real increase in the mental health. One of the things I'm really pleased about with the work that David's going to be doing with our teams is that the hope is they're going to be able to roll that out through Open Bloom to local communities of actually sort of working about mental health and with well-being and things like that. I've just retired as chair of the Calm Partnership of Churches, but because of being chair, I get all the stats for things like the Calm Food Bank and all the things that they're involved in. And across the country, I don't know, a lot of food banks are run by churches. It's really interesting, you know, whether it's the Salvation Army, whether it's the Calm Partnership in Calm, whether it's my friends are Catholic, and the big Catholic parish in Thurrock, and they run the food bank at the Catholic Church. No, the churches are very, very involved in all that food bank and those sorts of nutrition, providing food and things for people. Also in Calm, they're involved in school support. Now, I think the dip in school support has more been because they're not allowed in rather than not wanting them. Like you were saying, there's some places you go in. I made the assumption that the school involvement that Calm Partnership has in Calm would have stopped, and I was actually quite surprised to find out that they're still going actually into sort of social distance and stuff like that, like they do on Zoom. They do something called Open the Book, which is that type of acting out Bible stories in schools and things like that. And they've been doing that for about the last 4 years, 5 years that they've been going to schools and things. So that's actually an area where I would imagine as the pandemic becomes less, we'll go back up again. But as you can see, that I'll just quickly whip through them if you can't read. Good nutrition, affordable housing, debt counselling and support, mental health, disability, asylum seekers, unemployment, homelessness, addiction recovery groups, job creation enterprises, befriending the elderly and isolated, delivery of food and medicine, which of course shot up during the first shutdown, and school support. And I think the delivery of medicines will come down again. But more or less, the same sorts of areas are going on. David alluded to, we got a phone call in the office in November sometime, and there's been a lady who was single, got 5 children, the youngest is a baby and the oldest is
10.
What's it called? Not income support, what's the new thing? In universal credit delay sort of thing. No food, no money, etc. sort of thing. We got another phone call from her just recently because now it's come through, but all those stuff is servicing her debt. We've been able to help her practically in putting her in contact with people who provided food. But David's also contacted her saying, can he on her behalf contact the Christians Against Poverty? people to talk about managing debt, because I think at the moment she's just trying to pay everything off, and they're very good at putting it together and talking to different companies sort of get into a manageable sort of system. So all of those things that are going on that are engaging in the real world. So I'm going to finish with another question that's going back to that verse that in 10... I have my photograph there. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Right? We're giving that meeting together, so it's not about things we do outside of our meetings. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So, question to finish with, are there other engagements we could be spurring each other onto? Right. We'll have a little chat. Is there things that you think we could be encouraging each other to get involved in? Okay.